Hello, my lovelies. Welcome to the Naked Football Show this week. Apologies for the late starting. Not my fault. It's Richard's fault. No. My guest today is... it's not really his fault, but we were talking and I just completely forgot my timing. My guest today is Ipswich's Richard. Ipswich on Twitter. See, he's put me right off. At Ipswich, if you want him on Twitter. Richard Woodward. Also heavily involved with the Blue Monday podcast. And we've got a lot to talk about, including the Blue Monday podcast special, if you want to call it that. Yeah. So welcome, Richard.
Hello, Graham. Yeah, apologies for distracting you. Yes. I've totally thrown you off. I'm like the passenger in the... You're the driver, and I'm the passenger who keeps playing with all buttons, and you're like, no, don't do that, Rich. Yeah. Don't do that.
And when you kept saying, are we there yet? I thought, come on, Richard.
You need to go to the toilet, Graham.
Again. And obviously, he's had a few in the green room. We've both had a few in the green room. Which I think we're going to talk about later. So, right, I think we have to start with the gloomy stuff, don't we? Unless you want to go to Port Vale first. If you want a quick trip to Burslem?
Yeah, well, it set a nice, a bit of early context for what was to happen at Charlton. Because we roared into a 2-goal lead, looked amazing.
Yes.
And then we're pegged back, weren't we? And
we were.
Fortunately, well, again, and then we took the lead again. So it was, it was a kind of mini version of Charlton, but with a good outcome. Weird pitch, Port Vale. I bitched about this a little bit. Massive, huge. And I'm not sure whether that was a factor in Saturday or not. I was worried that it might be fitness and the squad's a little bit, I was going to say down to the bare bones, but it really isn't. But some key players missing. So you wonder whether that going into it might upset us a little bit, and maybe psychologically it did on Saturday against Charlton, because I mean I've never encountered a 2-goal lead twice being stormed.
So
I'm sure none of us
you
have.
quickly escaped Port Vale and went straight to Charlton to depress everyone.
Sorry, well
no, that's fine. I think we need to talk about it.
Let's rip the bandage off. But I think since the shock of it, like, it was a gut punch, wasn't it?
When
I wasn't at Charlton, I was following it from afar, so I can only imagine what people in the ground felt like. You were there, weren't you?
Yes,
so you
can absolutely.
Divulge that. But when the dust settles, I predicted an away point because I thought it would be a tricky game. They'd lost to MK Dons midweek, so they weren't going to be in the mood to be turned over again. And I think it was just one of those days where people put in performances you wouldn't normally expect. You know, I'm a massive fan of Christian Walton, and I think he'd put his hands up and say he didn't have the greatest days. But, you know, the celebrations are, you know, for that third or fourth goal, a lot of people now probably look back and think, wow, we shouldn't really have done that. That's what led to all this added time. So we've got a point, 7-point week, 3 games, 2 of them away. I don't think we can really complain, can we?
I think McKenna hit the ball.
hit the ball on the nail.
Yeah, I told you we shouldn't have tried that new stuff. Hit the nail on the head, yeah. He was saying he thought that the players got carried away with the fans almost, and their heads weren't right on it when they were actually celebrating in their own heads and didn't do the simple things as they should have done.
And 9 times out of 10 in that situation, you go on to win the game, you don't concede 2 goals. And I think the good thing, I guess, we can take away from that is it's very unlikely to happen again. McKenna is one of these people that learns and puts in plans to, you know, fix issues quickly.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty certain we'll see some changes as a result of that. Certainly, we won't be doing extravagant jumping in the stand celebrations in injury time anymore, will we?
Well, we probably will. That's the stupid thing, isn't it?
Well, we will, but the players shouldn't. Yeah.
I thought I'd lost my partner. She was dancing up and down with this guy next to us.
You
never met
three
him
rows. Yeah,
it often happens.
What was your experience in the stands then, Graham? Because I wasn't there. So
It was just you can imagine.
Yeah,
You remember we were talking about in the green room. We were talking about that Pablo goal against Coventry.
Yeah,
when half the stadium had emptied because they just thought, well, you know, I don't know how many minutes it was. You're
96 or
96.
I think the Pablo goal was 97 minutes.
Was it 97? You imagine the elation of that, and then just as you're coming down to earth, they score. You think that someone else scored, you know, you just think, I just can't believe it, you know, to happen twice anyway. It's just, and the sort of the walk back into London, and just, it's just so, but then, you know, there's that stuff you can drink, isn't there?
Memory tonic or whatever
Memory lost tonic. Shall we, avoid all this, although I think it's going to get brought up again and go into tweets and emails and Oh dear, and what people think. This is as usual, as they came in, and first in was Mr. Chris Rand. Hello, Chris. Evening, gents. Love both your shows. He's being very diplomatic. Aww.
Thank you. Which is best, like Chris. No, thank you. Don't do that. No.
Thank you, Chris. As Rich is such a fantasy football maestro.
One week only. So we have a head-to-head league.
Oh.
With Blue Monday Telegram members, our messaging group. And I beat Chris, I think fortuitously, I would suggest. My form has been a bit up and down, so that's what he's referring to. It's all kind of flash in the pan, Graham, rather than... a maestro is definitely over-egging it.
Well, you know, you could be just being modest.
Either that, yeah.
Which three current town players would you put in your Fantasy League One team?
I think Burns has got to be... I think the key is... So it's important how the players are classified. So Salah, for example, is a midfielder. Why, I don't know. So he gets loads of points because he scores loads of goals from midfield. So you need to kind of think about that. So Chaplin, I think, would be good because Chaplin, I think, would be classified as a midfielder.
Essentially plays
as a forward. I think Burns would be classified as a defender. So you've got to have him in for assisting goals as well. And I would typically put in Walton because he's good for a clean sheet. And I'm not going to say anything more about that, I think. Uh-oh. There you go. I'll stop there.
There you go, Chris. Chris is Cambridge's equivalent of the stat man, isn't he?
He's Cambridge's stat man.
This is Greyhound Table 6. Blimey. I'll have to meet up. As Ipswich only have two league matches this month, can the studio suggest any other town-related activities to keep us amused? I'd be particularly interested in any fan gatherings, if you know of any.
Oh, well.
I guess you wrote that.
Yeah, I've got multiple Twitter accounts. Thank you, Graham, Table 6. A pint will be winged its way to you next Saturday, I think. Yeah. I mean, we've got an immediate aftermath after Cheltenham fan gathering at the Sir Bobby Robson Suite if folk want to join us. I'm very grateful, Graham, you mentioned it in your tweet earlier. Yeah, we've got Blue Monday. I guess I'm trying to describe it in a way that makes sense because Blue Monday Live is kind of what we do now on a Sunday night and all that kind of stuff. So we do the show live. This is in person. It's the gathering of Ipswich Town fans. We've got some giveaways, some quizzes. We'll chat about Cheltenham. I think we've got some people from ITFC, the women's team, coming. They've got a cup game the next day. We'll do Q&A with them, hoping to have a few other people for Q&As as well. And I think it'd just be good to get, you know, group therapy. Hopefully Cheltenham's a positive win. You know,
it's
what we want.
If it's another,
good another opportunity to just gather, you know, town fans together, have a bit of a knees up, have a few drinks maybe, have a bit of fun, all that kind of stuff. And Portman Road, we're really grateful to Ipswich Town for hosting us. And if you want to join us on the 12th, it starts at, doors at 7:30, starts at 8, we'll be done by 10. BlueMondayITFC.co.uk, there's a link on the main page to get tickets there, or just go to our Twitter. We're very shamelessly plugging it as much as we can at the moment. It's a big old space, so there's we've got some room. So yeah, it'd be great to see as many people as possible there.
And where is it again?
So the Sir Bobby Robson Suite at Portman Road. So yeah, who'd have thought it?
That's quite big, isn't it?
Yeah, we're very great. It's where the Q&As happen, the kind of fans Q&As. So,
yes.
Yeah, we're very grateful to be in the same hallowed ground as those occur. So.
And of course, it has a bar.
It
wouldn't be worth it. It wasn't a bar.
We had to make sure. That's the only way we could get you there, Graham.
Yeah. Well, it is for me, definitely. Yeah.
TVC.
Right, thank you for that. We can talk more about that towards the end if we've got time, of course. This is from Ian Lustoft, Ian, at ITFC Ian, his name is, on Twitter. Good evening, gents. Actually, Ian, I think I told you, I was away last week. I was in Romania. Otherwise, I would have met you at Burslem. But I did see Thomas at Charlton, and you went to Charlton apparently, and couldn't find you. Strange that in 3,000 fans, but hello, mate. Good evening, gents. Great to have you back, GB. Thank you, mate. Wow, meltdown in the train carriage leaving Charlton. Meltdown on those were the days. Let's just calm down. It was a freak game. We're second in the league, and all the metrics. Only Plymouth have looked anywhere near our level, to my eyes. Keep the faith.
We were chatting about Plymouth's metrics. This is a popular conversation now, Plymouth's metrics. Their goals scored far exceed their expected goals, which is this stat about the quality of the chances they create. And the popular opinion, or the hopeful opinion of Ipswich fans, is that isn't sustainable. And got a few injuries, got a few long away trips as well. So I think Plymouth looked really good. So we're trying to, maybe it's clutching its straws. But yeah, as Ian says, the metrics were... us in terms of goal scored until Saturday, defending as well. You know, the league table, it looks positive. So we just got to move on. Those results happen maybe
once in the blue moon.
I was going to say once in the blue moon.
So
move on.
I'm only just learning what words like
expected goals. Yeah.
Well, or game management. That's a game new management. One. Yeah, that's a new one.
Deploy
to
the low block, Graham. Yeah.
Yeah. Just about to say that. This is from Jason. Hola. Could you address the topic of local radio cutbacks? I'm sensitive. Many fans of all ages rely on local content by local producers. Something all pod stars, in quotes, might be able to align upon and help find a solution. A bit political, he's put hashtag. Yeah, it is a bit, but I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
It is a bit of a shocking, weird one. Isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I feel really sorry for the guys at Life's a Pitch. You know, Mark and Phil and Butch and the Tractor Boy guy. And because they've had a kind of... they've came back, didn't they? Rejuvenated.
Well, exactly. They lost it through COVID and then came back and now... Yeah.
And but it feels like it's quite a wide-ranging, cost-cutting exercise. And I think the only positive I can sort of suggest is, and I think maybe this is Jason's point, is that if good content can be now put out really easily, we demonstrate it. We're a podcast. Yeah. We're on multiple podcast platforms, YouTube, and so content is more accessible than ever. You could stick it down Twitter if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But I think Jason's point is a lot of people, older fans particularly, rely on the radio, don't they?
Yep.
And that's really sad if they lose their connection to the club through that. So spot on, Jason. And I guess, you know, we always have Phil on the podcast. I'm sure, you know, we'll reach out and to other people and get more involvement there. But yeah, it's sad, isn't it?
And most things that are on YouTube are also accessible. You know, they're online. You can listen.
You can figure out ways.
You don't need
to
look at anything.
If you're out on a limb a little bit, it's really it's a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so. But watch this space, as they say.
Mm.
This is from Mrs. Nuts. Apart from orange twirls, what would Ipswich, that's Richard, of course, what would his dream green room rider be before stepping into the studio naked? I swapped those last two words around just for the hell of it.
No one wants that image in there. I mean, it would have to be the orange room. So, yeah, me and Mrs. Nuts exchange. It's like contraband. We like, I bring export orange twirls out of the Midlands when I lived there at away days and sort of like in a brown package, just handing them over. So every time we see like an orange spin-off of a popular... confectionery product, we generally exchange messages about it. I mean, when I was a kid, like Sunkist and Tango, where are they gone? Orange fizzy drinks.
I think you can still get Tango.
Can you still get Tango?
I'm not sure.
I haven't. I mean,
well,
I,
you know when
I'm
you've
very
been
healthy.
Tangoed.
I'm a big that was Ray Wilkins, wasn't it, on those adverts?
Oh, I think so. Yeah,
look that up, kids. Yeah. Barocca. I'm a big fan of Barocca in this time of year as well. Orange, VK Orange, that's a shout-out. My mate Seb, who's on Blue Monday as well, we used to absolutely neck VK Oranges, vodka orange juice.
You won't remember Corona then, will you?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
I think so. What, with the beer or
not
the virus?
No, the virus. No, Corona, Corona, the Cherryade and Orangeade and Limeade.
Yeah,
the big bottles it came in.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so there you go. If we want orange products, there you go. There's my recommendations there.
Okay.
Got to have some booze in there as well.
What's the present one? I'm trying to think. It's going to waste
some
time.
Some Cheetos as well. And
oh, my Lord. Daryl has suggested, that's Daryl from the US of A, a crate of these, which is Adnam's Blood Orange Session IPA.
They stopped it. I love that stuff.
Yeah, I used to drink that. Has Adnam stopped it, or is it just that certain
Adnam, pub? I think you can get, they've done a Clementine Pale Ale or something.
Oh, right.
But the Blood Orange one was lovely.
I know. It was.
Bring it back, Adams.
Yeah.
If you're listening.
4.4 volume for those of interest. Julian Hughes, good evening to the Real Ale Man and Young Rich. My question is, with the predicted 2 points a game, it gets you in mixed for promotion. Shut up, Graham, speak properly. But do you think our points per game tally will end up? Yeah, what do you think our points per game tally will end up?
Oh, I can predict that. Is that the end of the question?
No.
Good.
There's no more question. It's just that Willow, who's his granddaughter, has just been informed she should be out in time for the promotion celebrations.
Oh, you see,
by Christmas, because she's not going to be back in by April and May. She won't last that long. If she comes out now, she might just last till Christmas before she's reincarcerated, I would suggest. But thanks for that, Jules.
Wow. I'll leave that between you
guys.
No.
Almost up there with the worst serial killers you can imagine.
Blimey.
Willow is.
There you go.
Yeah.
Back to the football.
Yeah.
I'm the worst person to ask this question to. I will not join in with any chants that use the P word. That's until we're certainly past the 10 of the year. I'm not talking about promotion. I'm not predicting
points. Oh, that, yeah, yeah.
I just have got so many bad memories. So obviously everyone else for your boots. If it makes you happy, go for it. But and I will join in with two-thirds of the new chant about Kieran McKenna as well, about the Dapo and attack and all that kind of stuff. But I stop at the last bit because I can't chant about it.
No. So
springtime is when we should be thinking about those kind of things. There you go. Sorry to dodge the question, Jules, but that's a personal... That's my personal preference as someone who's very,
And I haven't got the brain to cope with working it out, Jules, as you know. So onwards, thanks for that. Say hello to Willow. Pass a cake with a file in it to her again. Tell her not to eat the file this time, to eat the cake. Mikey Pentney-Smith, hello, Mikey. In a weird way, it was reassuringly familiar to see a Town goalkeeper making mistakes on Saturday. He's put a question mark as well at the end. I suppose so, as long as he's getting out of his system.
Yeah, get out of your system kind of situation. I kind of feel like a goalkeeper making mistake is... It's like you want pilots to make a mistake kind of thing, or you know, hosts of radio shows to make mistakes. Yeah, so I think it's kind of...
That's easy.
Let's not hope it matters, you know, those mistakes. But yeah, I think Walton's quality, you know, probably the best keeper at this level. And I think... Everyone has off days, don't they? And particularly, I think, I don't know where I heard this, maybe it was even on our podcast, but, you know, players at this level are at this level for a good reason. If they were perfect players every single game, you got 8 out of 10, they wouldn't be in League One. So we just need to sometimes remember that.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's not been playing first team football all his life either. So.
No, well, and let's be honest, he's excellent. He's been excellent since he came in.
Yeah.
So I can't think of any player that has... since the McKenna era, who's not had an off day.
No, absolutely.
So the keeper just happens to be the worst position in the pitch
yes.
to be in that situation,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, I know, as a pub keeper. Cognitive Dissonance, love the show. What do the panel think about Town's chances of overtaking Plymouth next month now that Finn Azaz is out for 10 weeks?
I think, so yeah, as we talked about before, trying to find... issues with Plymouth set up at the moment is really tricky. We're kind of, as I said, clutching at straws, hoping that managers disappear or Finn Azaz gets injured for a few weeks. But it's bigger than that, isn't it? It's Morgan blimey, Whittaker, who's English, by the way, he's not Welsh, so he's not going to the World Cup.
No.
And, you know, Mumba as well. You know, if the goals dry up and they're scoring a lot of goals from range, which is you know, why they're exceeding their expected goals and all that kind of stuff, then maybe, but... You know, as long as we are, I would take second right now. You offered me second.
Absolutely.
You know, Plymouth are going to be consistent, then good luck to them. We got them at the Portman Road. I'd fancy us to beat them at Portman Road. But I think we just need to keep doing what we're doing, keep that 2 points per game, as Jules was saying. And,
Either second or a guaranteed win in the playoff final. Cognitive replies to obviously you've already answered him, so none of us are over it yet. Sod's law that there's no game until the 7th of November to take our minds off it.
Yeah, it does feel like this weird gap for football, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And the football that we have is on live TV at a non-league ground on a Monday night. What could possibly go wrong, eh?
And a train strike as well for those going. Dean Mitchell, hello Dino. Bumped into him at Charlton. Hello GB and Rich. Seriously, is it only us that could do that at Charlton? A great day out with truly amazing support with some great yeses and big oh no's. Emotionally similar to Oxford last season. Thought Dom Ball had a great second half and Harness is not an impact sub. I thought actually Harness started that. He hung on to the ball, didn't he, and didn't play the simple stuff, which could have... Yeah, I totally agree, Dino. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tears all the way afterwards. Alex Pagano, hello Alex. What is it about Ipswich that makes us so Spursy? What is it about Town that make the four all so utterly unsurprising?
There's only two that I can think of in my lifetime going where we've so ridiculously surrendered the lead. But I think it's probably it's one of these cliches that why always ask, but there will be other teams that are stupid and let Leeds go and you know, just it's, the embarrassing thing is that like a lot of people, I'm sure you've got football fans who are not Ipswich fans who support other teams who take much joy out of sharing footage from Charlton's Twitter account and you know, Monday I'll put it out there, Match of the Day's Twitter, but it's like I don't need to see it, guys. I don't need to see it, but other teams will screw up, I'm
absolutely
sure.
Every team,
it's our turn.
Every supporter thinks it's only their team that does it, but
we were talking about a couple of good ones in the late 90s. Barnsley and Watford away Yeah, it's been a while since we've been the one, and Coventry is a good example. So we just need to do that to win a team, don't we?
This is from Izzy. I'm going to have to hurry you now. Hello, Graham. A magnificent guest.
Yep. Thank you.
I know Town have managed a number of clean sheets, but that has often been despite mistakes in their own goal area earlier in the season. I would express concern that at some stage Town would be made to pay for some of that sloppiness. Was Saturday that the day when that lackadaisicalness, God, finally came home to roost? Thanks, Izzy.
Yeah, and there was a bit of that at Port Vale as well.
Yes.
Thanks, Izzy. Yeah, I think possibly maybe there'll be training dealing with that, I think. McKenna might do some changing. You know, Burgess coming back, I think, is useful. So, I think there's a team defensive issue there, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. And we are missing that bit of height at the back because, you know, if a team is down by two goals, they're going to launch the ball, aren't they? And we did suffer a bit at the end of that game.
Great.
Good evening, Jeep. This is from Lower Ball. Actually, I got to call him Lower Ball, didn't I? from Slower Ball. Good evening, Jeepster. Good evening, Woody. Love the show. Rich, you've posted over 200 goal clips from the club's glorious and not-so-glorious past, but what is your favourite ever ITFC goal? And same question to me. Right, we'll quickly do that one.
Marcus Stewart's second at Bolton in the playoffs.
When he, I think I concur. I can't.
The Liverpool one's good, but the Bolton game, that goal meant more in the context of that match coming from. There's Bolton let 2-goal lead slip at Ipswich. There you go. At home.
Yeah.
Marcus, your second goal. Both of them are great, but I think that second goal.
I don't think you'd see two better, different goals in one game, will you?
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, yeah. Legend. Great Marcus Stewart fans as well, aren't we?
Yeah.
Of course, and for those who don't know, you can buy Marcus Stewart gloves now, which is going to help the charity, and hats and scarves.
Didn't wear them,
I believe.
But
No. Those who can remember what he used to wear. For what it's worth, mine, this is Slower Ball speaking again, I've seen live and up to now are Kevin Wilson's goal against Man City at Main Road in the full Members' Cup.
Deep cut, that.
I think I only know he's got a mate who supports Man City. I think that could be a deep. Followed by Marcus Stewart's first goal in the playoff semi away at Bolton. First goal, there you go. So we've covered both those goals.
Didn't
Rich,
see that
Rich
one,
and
really,
Slower Ball. Sensational Pablo's back heel at Charlton. Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
In a defeat, though. We were 3-0 down at half time, I think.
But he was only talking about the goal, so I suppose we have quality, to take
that's
that.
On
that
the,
was a good goal.
I posted
goal.
That, yeah.
Good day to you. Keep smiling. God bless Luke Varney. Oh, he had a cracking game up at Derby a couple of seasons back. A few more than that. When we were under the cost from nearly all the game and won it, didn't
scored
we?
Scored a quality goal for Blackpool in the Premier League. A volley from like 30 yards on the touchline.
I liked Luke Varney. Yeah. He was a good workhorse and tried hard. Okay, Rich, we have just over a minute. So if you can talk more about your event coming up, you can look forward to Bracknell very quickly.
Yeah, so bluemondayitfc.co.uk for the live event on the 12th. Come and join us for that, I'm sure. Yep. That'll be a good laugh. Bracknell, I think, try to avoid playing as many senior players as you can, I think, and sneak a win, get out of there without embarrassment. I'd take that at this point. It'd be good to get a home tie. We just haven't had home matches, have we? And talking of not having home matches, it's a shame ITFC women, they're playing hashtag away. They had to reverse that fixture around because of stadium availability. So we wish them all the best on Sunday. And you can vote for your player of the month, I think, at the moment as well. Mm-hmm. Freya Godfrey's had an excellent month, but Bonnie Esther and her goals. Very difficult.
Are you going to talk about briefly a new supporters thing?
Yeah,
new
I think
female supporters.
We're early stages of setting up an official supporters club like the men have. So keep your eyes peeled on socials about that. Maybe some more information at the Blue Monday Live event, hopefully, as well.
Yes,
so,
absolutely. Where there will be some of the women from the team as well.
Hopefully,
you hope.
Yeah.
And quickly, a score prediction for Monday.
I think we'll concede, sadly. But
you do?
I think it 3-1. There you go. 3-1.
How many divisions are they below us?
Lots. Six? We're League One. I keep forgetting we're Division Three. About three, I think.
Okay. Thank you, Rich. Thanks, everyone. Till next week. Bye.